We have a new title, so it's Bias and Errors from Complex Survey Analysis, an example from applying ordinary least squares to the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey. Like Carl, our focus is ED visit too. But first, I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Haitao Chu from University of Minnesota and Sandra Greenland from UCLA. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So the topic is trend analysis for complex surveys. As we know, there are so many annual national complex surveys. To name a few, National Health Interview Survey, National Health Examination and Nutrition Survey. There are just so many. Commonly, we have seen a lot of trend analysis for various conditions over time, such as risk behaviors, such as smoking, or disease, cardiovascular, diabetes, also some other things. So in order to do this kind of trend analysis, at first, we estimate the parameter of interest, for example, a rate, and the standard error of the rate for each survey year. Then we regress annual estimates on year to estimate the average yearly difference. Our study objective was to compare classical weighted least squares regression, CWLS, information weighted least squares regression, IWLS, generalized estimating equation, GEE, and we use nonparametric bootstrapping to validate our results. This study is based on one example. It's by Dr. Tong's article published in JAMA. The title is Trends and Characteristics of U.S. Emergency Department Visits 1997-07. They analyze a type of national survey is called National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, NAMSUS. From their regression of 97-07 national ED visit rate a year, the p-value for trend is 0.001, is highly significant. They didn't provide the slope point estimate and the confidence interval. A closer look at their data, we find for 97, the national ED visit rate was about 353 per 1,000 person years. The 95% confidence interval is about 299-407. For 2007, the point estimate is about 391, and the confidence interval is from 320-461. So both confidence intervals are wide, and they contain both point estimates. So that, you know, so we have question why the trend is so significant. Some background theory. So here is the equation yi equals beta 0 plus beta 1 I plus epsilon I. I is our independent variable, which is 0 minus 1997, which is from 0 to 10. We have 11 observations. Yi is our dependent variable, which is national emergency department visit rate for index I. For CWLS and IWLS, they both use the inverse variance weight, so which is, you know, so that's the inverse of the variance for each year. And the point estimate of CWLS and IWLS should be the same. The difference is in the error, which is epsilon I. IWLS assume just, you know, do not make an additional assumption about the variance of the error. For CWLS, it assumes there's unknown shared variance, which is sigma squared here. Okay. And this variance, sigma squared, is also known as the MSE, mean squared error. So basically for CWLS, it needs enough distinct observations to estimate MSE stably. When the degree of freedom is greater than or equal to 30, this is usually enough. But in this example, it's less than 10, it's definitely questionable. In some extreme case, if we have just two periods, for CWLS, we have 0 degree freedom, so we have undefined MSE and variance. So is for GE. But for IWS, the variance estimate remains stable. Look at our data. Like I mentioned before, we analyzed 97 to 07 national ED visit rate. We downloaded data from the CDC's website since it's publicly available. We estimated the rates and standard errors for each year. We compared our rates with the town's estimate. Our point estimate for the rate were similar. For standard errors, actually, towns are bigger than ours under CDC's documentation. We find out if we produce standard errors, it's, you know, in order to account for the sampling design, you need to analyze it for each year. If we pull all the years, the standard error is bigger. So their estimate were for standard errors were similar to those based on pulling years. So this is the table or the data we are going to work with. So basically, we can see for 97, the rate is about 0.35 per person year, and the peak is 2006 is about 0.405, and then it reduced to 0.394 in 2007. The standard errors were smaller in the earlier years than the later years. So this is our data analysis. For CWLS, I provide the sub-program. We use GLN, and we use model statement to define our dependent variable and independent variables. Y is our dependent variable. YF1997 is our independent variable, which is year minus 1997. We weight each observation by the inverse variance. The degree of freedom is the number of years minus the number of parameters, which is 9 here. For this CWLS, we use t-distribution for p-value and confidence interval. For IWLS, we use SAS-NL-mix for this. The degree of freedom should be set as 500. This approximates normal distribution. By default, the program uses a t-distribution. We define two parameters, B0, which is the initial value for intercept, B1 is the initial value for linear slope, and then we have the model statement. This defines our y dependent variable follows a normal distribution. Its mean is B0 plus B1 times YF1997, and its variance is sigma squared. I also provide the STATA program. I know STATA is popular in public health. So the program is VWLS, the dependent variable, then the independent variable YF1997, and use SD to define their standard error. With normal distribution for this hypothesis test and confidence interval. In terms of GEE, we use SAS Gemma modeling. We make the year is a class variable. So we use a repeated statement. This is to invoke the GEE modeling. For GEE, we use normal distribution for p-value and confidence interval. So for validation purposes, we have 2,000 nonparametric bootstrap samples. So for each sample, we fitted a linear regression to each sample. And when we calculate the mean and standard deviation of this 2,000 slope estimate, the standard deviation of the slope estimate is the bootstrap standard error for the linear trend B1. This is our result. This is the estimated yearly difference in national ED visit rate by methods. From this table, we can see for CWIS, IWIS, GE, they have the same point estimate. But a standard error we can see for CWIS and GE is much smaller than IWIS. Therefore, they have a smaller confidence intervals, and the p-value for trend is 0.002 for CWIS. In IWIS, its borderline is significant, so it's 0.06. For GE, it's even more extreme. It's 0.00002. For bootstrap analysis, the point estimate is slightly lower than the other three methods, but the standard error is exactly the same as IWIS. So from this validation, we know the standard error from IWIS is correct. For the other methods, they are not correct. For tons analysis, their p-value is 0.001, is very similar to the method from CWIS. There's some relationship between CWIS and IWIS in standard error. Okay, so this, I just point out this formula. So if when you use either CWIS or IWIS, we can know. If you use CWIS, you can correct your standard error, just divided by the square root of MSE. In conclusion, in ecological analysis, CWIS increasingly prone to underestimate statistical uncertainty as degree of freedom becomes small in our example. So hence, IWIS recommended analysis lack of model fit indicated by small p from fit test or pattern residuals or clear over dispersion, in which case a better model is needed. This is my contact information and the institute for the co-authors. Actually, this our presentation has just been published. It's in the November announce of epidemiology. Thank you.
Now, questions and answers. Okay, when you ask questions, please speak loudly. Okay. Dr. Jones, I have a question for you. So, yes, you model occurrence of infectious disease. The observation of dependent variable is not independent because it's infectious disease. And the non-independent violates a something of regressions, that is, the observation should be independent. Do you have any comments on that? Okay, the dependent variable is occurrence of infectious disease.
Yes.
The observation of infectious diseases is dependent. The observation itself is not independent.
Of what?
Because infectious disease is contagious. Okay, for example, if you were in this class and there is a source of infections, you are more likely to be infected by the disease than people in other classroom where there is no source of infection.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're modeling at the zip code level,
mm-hmm.
and we're using claims data.
So if I understand the question correctly, he's saying that the dependent variable is not independent of it occurrences, right? So what we're doing is we're modeling at the zip code level, and we are aggregating all of the cases within a zip code from the patient level data and rolling that up to the zip code level. And then our independent variables are measured around the population centroid of that. So to your question, I'm not sure if it applies in this sense, because these are independent cases of the disease itself, so there's no relationship, or we assume that there's independence between the observations. I don't know if that's addressing your question or not.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Is it for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
For you. I can't remember which of the predictive models you used had this, but one of them had a sensitivity of, I think, it was 0.46 or 0.42,
mm-hmm.
which actually means you have another test with a better sensitivity, which is essentially do exactly the opposite of whatever your predictive model says. Have you tried using that to see if that essentially improves the technique by kind of exploiting its badness, I guess?
No, we haven't at this point. This was where we stopped with it. We developed the when we developed the models, we looked at model performances based on misclassification rate, and then the PPV and the sensitivity were just reported. That's what I said earlier, with where most of our liability lies. But we've done some earlier predictive modeling where we did try to optimize both that PPV and sensitivity on the y-axis compared to a lot of different analog approaches, and so that may be something we would explore, so that's a good point.
I had a question about RDS. Is thanks for your presentation. I was wondering in your new reformatted RDS that you're using at the end, so then people are allowed to do unlimited referrals, and then
that's a good question. I realized afterwards that I hadn't explained that, so that's good. Although what happens is they can use they have a code word, and so they can use that code word multiple times to distribute the coupon out with the code word on there. But we limit it when they come in. So as the recruit comes in, we limit it. And when the recruit comes in and enrolls, we assign the serial number at that point. So they do get a serial number, and we can figure out who recruited who.
Are you limited
to three? Yep, so it's just the three. Yeah.
Did you call the original recruiter and say, hey, stop recruiting?
They know, because when they as the recruits come in, you pay them. And so when they get to number three, they know that they're done.
That's a good question. The thing is, for a bootstrapping process, it's not easy to do, and it's very time-consuming. Because from this, if you need to really know, have the so many design variables and how you assign the weights and how do you do bootstrapping. That's for a lot of epidemiologists, I think we don't have the expertise, and if we use variance rating is square or information rating, that's very easy. You just feed the program. You still have the thing is, what we care is about the standard error, the variance of estimate. So information rating is square is the way to go. And I've seen a lot of researchers, some papers, and they're using classical rating is squares, and it's just they have so small standard error for the trend, and it's just false statistical alert.
Okay, I have a question about RDS. Do you look at whether or not age is a potential factor to determine the recruitment? For example, the older people, the relatively old individual, are more likely to recruit others.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I just want to clarify really quickly that we're no longer calling RDS for the purposes of our sample, because we're not using a strict RDS approach. In terms of the predictors of recruitment, we're just about to plan an analysis on that. Because in addition to age, which I think is probably related to recruitment, obviously race is going to be related. And this also helped us kind of generate some hypotheses about what else might be related to it. For example, closeness, emotional closeness, we feel like it will probably be related to recruitment, as well as outness. So those are things that were sort of generated as a result of this exploratory study. But I do believe that age is most likely related to recruitment, but we haven't looked at that formally yet.
Any other questions? Okay, let's conclude our session. Thank you all again.